A passion for shooting and hunting drives product innovation at Hodgdon Powder Company. Hodgdon is the leader in reloading information for enthusiasts and newcomers alike with the Reloading Data Center. HodgdonReloading.com.
All right, lock and load. We are ready to do this thing. I'm Tom Gresham, and you're listening to Gun Talk. Yes, I said Gun Talk. We're going to talk about guns for hours and hours because that's what we like. We like our guns and our ammunition and the optics and all the other stuff that goes with it. And yes, we'll talk gun rights as well, because that's a big part of the deal. An awful lot of things going on. Today, we're going to be talking about some new products, some cool stuff, some old guns, how to sell your gun, how to buy a used gun. One of the things that a lot of people want to know about, and frankly, are a little bit uneasy about, we'll help you with that. It is, of course, Mother's Day. And so right now, let me put out the call. We are looking for your stories. If you want to relay a story about your mother or another mother, if it involves guns or hunting or safety or personal protection, we're all ears. And if you are a mother, why not? Give us a call and then we can talk about that as well. It's pretty easy to get in here. The phone number is 866-TALK-GUN. Easier, honestly, to do it this way. Just call me. I'm Tom. Tom Talk Gun. Pretty easy. Tom Talk Gun, and that'll get you in here. Holy cow, a lot of things going on. Talk about a lot of stuff as we go through the show today. There is a strong move to remove Wayne LaPierre from the NRA and maybe put in Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. We'll pick that up as we go along today. Also, of course, the big news of the day or the week, probably for the next many weeks, is the leak at the Supreme Court about Roe v. Wade. And the question is, not so much, for at least for us, not so much about that, but what does it possibly portend about this court and the upcoming New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin case? That's the case challenging New York's licensing scheme, which says you can't get a concealed carry permit unless you can show good cause. In other words, do you really have a good enough reason to exercise your enumerated constitutional right? We'll have some thoughts about that and about this leak and this particular court as we go along today. Again, 866-TALK-GUN. But one of the things you hear a lot right now, and I've talked about this, oh my gosh, for decades, is how effective the gun ban lobby is, and frankly, using their PR department, which is known as the general media in the United States, that's their PR department, at using specific terms to bend public opinion. And one of the folks who has done an excellent job of explaining that, dissecting that, you know, and basically just saying, look, this is what you really need to know about that. Join us right now, Dan Wass. He is author and an advocate, a Second Amendment guy. And Dan, we appreciate you being here. How are you, sir?
Tom, it's so great to be on your show. And I always appreciate our conversations. And what are we going to talk about today? Guns and stuff?
You think? Well, you know, and look, I'm like you. I hesitate to even use their terms. It's like I tell people, don't use the term assault weapon. That's a created term. We know that. We even have the background on that. I mean, it was a term created and designed to confuse the public, and it's been very effective. I mean, you go all the way back to Saturday Night Specials and ghost guns now is what we're talking about. And you just wrote a really good piece about that. If you would just kind of pick this up and run with this whole idea of this newly manufactured boogeyman scary term, ghost gun.
Wow, ghost guns is really interesting. But you did mention assault weapon, and I got to just mention that real quick. Everybody remembers when Dianne Feinstein held the AR-15 up, and as soon as she did, and they started using that term assault weapon, that's when it really became part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's been here ever since, unfortunately. But the new one, the new term, and, you know, I always talk about the big daddy term, gun violence. There's no such thing as gun violence,
right,
by the way. Human violence. But we talk about that, too. But the new one, the new boogeyman, is ghost guns. So what better way to scare people who don't know any better than use the term, the word ghost? You know, we watch horror movies because it scares us. And But really what they're talking about is guns that the government can't trace or track. And as far as I remember, when the Second Amendment was written, it didn't say the right of the people to keep and bear arms as long as the government knows where your guns are. I don't remember hearing that part, reading that part of it.
No.
But what they do is they use the term ghost guns, and the solution to their manufactured fear of ghost guns, their solution is registry, gun registration, universal background checks, everything that leads to them knowing who has guns and where they're located. So ghost guns is, it also comes with this crazy implication that guns should be registered. Guns should be traceable.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. They start off with a baseline of, well, everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have people tell me, I own a gun, but it's not registered. I said, well, who would you register with? And they kind of look at you. I said, you do understand that in most states, there is no, not only is there not a requirement to register your gun, there's actually no mechanism for registering your gun, and there are at least two federal laws which specifically prohibit the federal government from registering guns.
Well, you know, if our founding fathers were alive, they'd be slapping us for even entertaining the thought that government should track our guns. The whole idea was that our guns were used so we the people could have leverage over our government. Why in the world would we give them that information? That it goes against everything, the Second Amendment, every reason the Second Amendment. In other words, it's none of the government's damn business who has guns and where they're located. But ghost guns is perfect because it scares people who don't know any better. They imply that guns should be registered because, oh my gosh, what a crazy notion if they're not registered. Are you kidding me? And, you know, so it gives that implication, and then it encourages them, encourages people to support universal background checks, which is ultimately a gun registry. I think we all know that.
Yeah, and let me jump in, because one of the things that I think we ought to back all the way up, people say, what is a ghost gun? A ghost gun, for them, is a gun that you make yourself. It has been legal since the founding of this country to make your own guns. People have done that by the millions. It's perfectly fine, perfectly legal. And when you start to get into, and I know you're good at this, Dan, and maybe you could pick this up, when you get into the details of each of these either proposed or laws that have been passed, you start to discover, once again, they're using a scary term to motivate people. But when you actually look at the law, you go, wait a minute, they're actually listing parts here or precursor parts. I mean, how far back does a part have to be before it's, you're not allowed to have it? Does it go all the way back to a chunk of steel? And when you start digging into it, you go, this isn't about homemade guns at all, is it?
No, it's not. It's not about homemade guns. That's a great point, Tom. It's not about homemade guns. That's just the vehicle by which they're using to push this legislation through. What it really is about is guns that they don't know about. And they want to know about every single gun. And that's just the reality of it.
Well, historically, why do governments want to know where the guns are?
Here's the interesting thing. Okay, so because, like I said, ghost gun it's the gateway to universal background checks. Universal background checks is ultimately a gun registry. Okay, so now we have to look. There's another component here that we're not talking about, that they're working simultaneously. They're working along with the universal background checks, and that's red flag laws. Don't forget about red flag laws. People know a lot of states have adopted them now. A red flag law started with swatting. You remember swatting, where people would just tell on people and try to get people and gun owners in trouble for no reason. Let the cops sort it out. The cops would arrive. There would be a conflict and all sorts of, just create chaos. Well, swatting turned into red flag laws, which are basically gun confiscations without due process, of course, because they can't let due process get in the way. And this is what's happening right now, as I see it. They're pushing red flag laws along with the universal background checks or gun registry, because in order to enact red flag laws, you need to know where the guns are. That's where the universal background checks come in. Ghost guns is just the term to push that along?
Two things I'm thinking here. Well, you know, let me do this. I'm going to take a quick break here, Dan, because there's two things going on here. And ponder this as we go to our break, is the expandability of terms, or what falls into the terms, whether it's assault weapon, whether it's ghost gun, or whether it's what constitutes a violation that gets you tapped with a red flag law. We're talking with Dan Wass, 866-TALK-GUN. We'll be right back.
Taurus continues to build upon a proven foundation that has made the Taurus G-Series among the most popular personal defense EDC pistols ever. This family of 9mm striker-fired polymer handguns has evolved with features, reliability, and ergonomics demanded for today's discerning shooters. From the versatile G3 family, along with the micro-compact GX4 models, Taurus has pistols that make an excellent choice for first-time and next-level shooters.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we are working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Check out the future of optics at ATN. ATN Optics unites top-of-the-line performance with state-of-the-art technology in thermal and digital day and night systems that allow you to do more. Are you a hunter or a shooter? ATN Optics gives you that edge to perform better and bring home the big prize. Find yours now, along with monthly promos and deals, at the ATN website.
We're talking with Dan Wass. He is the author of a string of books, Good Gun, Bad Guy. There's like 1, 2, and 3, and Destroying the Anti-Gun Narrative, Exposing Anti-Gun Politics. Dan, you kind of specialize in poking holes in these things and trying to explain to people, look, stop listening to what they're saying and actually look at what they're doing. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, you know what? I like to think of the Good Gun, Bad Guy book series as the rule book to the gun grab that they never wanted you to see. Because I do. I expose all that stuff, and I pull their pants down in public, and they hate me for it, Tom. They can't stand me.
And okay, so I agree with you, and what you're doing is you're saying, look, this is what they're saying, but this is what they really want to do. And often they will actually give away, you know, or they, as we say, they say the quiet part out loud. You know, they'll get pushed into the corner. They'll say, well, of course we want to get rid of all guns. Of course we want to take away all your guns. But we know we can't do it all right all off the bat. So we're going to get them a piece at a time. So toward that end, I threw the thought out as we headed to the break. And I try to explain to people the expandability of, you know, once you start accepting the concept that there's such a thing as a good gun and a bad gun, then the other side gets to keep expanding the category of bad gun, because you've already bought into that, whether it's assault weapons that they call that, and now it gets bigger and bigger, and now we get pistols involved, whether it's the so-called ghost gun, it's the homemade gun, whether it is what crimes constitute, or what crimes would run you into a problem or be in conflict with you owning a gun, so they could use the red flag laws to come and take your guns away.
Yeah, no, it's they're heinous. You know, these people, they have no respect for the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and that's exactly what they want to do. If they can keep chipping away and chipping away, you know, there's a few things. They want confiscation. They want the ability to confiscate, but they got this little pesky Second Amendment that keeps getting in the way. So what they do is they go around that, and they try to they want to get rid of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, so they can sue manufacturers out of business. They think they're going to take that route. They're always trying, and they'll never stop. So we can't relent, and that's why a no compromise position on gun restrictions as far as I'm concerned, is the best medicine. I won't give them anything if I have my choice.
No, I mean, and you know, realistically, there are times when you say, okay, they're, and not so much now, but maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, when you look at it and you go, okay, they're about to pass a really horrible bill. We can't stop it, but we can weaken it. And then we'll come back to fight another day. And that was kind of what had to happen then. But really, the playing field has changed significantly. And I'm particularly looking forward in the next 7 weeks or so for the Supreme Court's decision to come out in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin case. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, well, boy, I'm really optimistic about that. I think that's great. I'm in New York, so if people don't know, they're listening. I'm in New York State. I'm upstate New York, so don't lump me in with the with the New York City liberals. I'm certainly not hanging out with them. But I really have high hopes for this. And if this could change everything, because if we can set precedents in New York City, there will be other lawsuits in other states, and we can start to create more of a what we might call a constitutional carrier, what we might call a state-to-state reciprocity. Things will start to open up a little bit more. So I'm very optimistic and very hopeful about that. So we'll see soon. The decision is supposed to come down really soon.
Yeah, June would be the latest. So it's, like I say, sometime in the next 7 weeks. Let me get your reaction to this. One of the great ironies for me is having watched this from the beginning of the concealed carry movement marching across the country, state after state, passing concealed carry. And the gun control people railing and, you know, wailing about carry permits. And, you know, you can't have carry permits and blood will run in the streets and all that. And now that we have constitutional carry moving across the country and being passed by state after state, the gun control people are saying, no. We need concealed carry permits. We have to force people to have concealed carry permits, what they've been fighting against for 25 years.
Yeah, because we moved the ball. We moved the goalpost, and now they're playing a defensive position. You know, and that's good. Let's keep them on the defense. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think we should have any. I think we should have a constitutional carry across the country. There should be no government issued permission slip to carry a gun. This is just absolutely ridiculous. But we get so conditioned to accept this stuff.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So you know, people talk about state to state reciprocity. And by the way, I just got back from Rock the Red. I spoke with Mike Lindell, Lara Trump, and Roger Stone this past weekend in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But on the way, I stopped to have dinner with my friend Eric Pratt. And people listening may know who Eric Pratt is.
Yeah, Gunners of America, sure.
That's right. Yep. And I got to tell you, man, it's just so refreshing to talk to him. We had dinner with him and his wife and my wife. And it's so refreshing to talk to him because they truly are, Gun Owners of America truly is a no-compromise organization. And that's the attitude we need to take. I don't want to give them anything. I'll never give them anything. I'll never give them the bump stock. I'll never give them, you know, all the stupid little things. So I say fight like angry hornets against their gun control, and we'll put them back on their heels. And like we are, like you said, with the permits.
Yep, exactly. Just no, a simple no. Dan, tell me where they can find your writings these days.
Well, thanks for asking, Tom. And by the way, my book series, A Good Gun, Bad Guy, you, and I'm very proud to have you endorse my third edition of Good Gun, Bad Guy. So Good Gun, Bad Guy 3, Tom Gresham actually endorsed it. If you buy the book, you can read his endorsement on the back.
it's a good one, and it's very worthwhile. It really is.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate it. It's a badge of honor to have you endorse it. So thank you very much. But people can find the Good Gun, Bad Guy book series at goodgunbadguy.com. I also have a webcast called Loaded Mike, and you can find that at loadedmike.com.
And you also write for Ammo Land occasionally.
Write for Ammo Land occasionally, for Daily Caller, Western Journal, just a whole bunch of publications,
right,
but primarily for Ammo Land, and I've become somewhat of a spokesperson for them now, and we're doing a lot of videos and stuff for them too.
Excellent. That's Dan Wass. For the people looking it up, WOS, Dan Wass, pretty easy. Dan, thank you so much for what you do and for being able to help me explain this in ways that I know people understand better once we've had the conversation.
Well, keep doing what you're doing too, Tom. You are a very important voice in this fight. We really appreciate it. And I'm happy to come back on the show anytime you'll have me.
We'll do it. We appreciate that, sir. Thanks, take care. All right. Yeah, let me address for just a second this Supreme Court on the Roe v. Wade. As you heard me say many times before, people go, yeah, you know, I understand about the Second Amendment, but this person supports this or opposes this. And I always say, not my issue. Doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. I got an opinion on a lot of things, but the Second Amendment is my issue. But it has been kind of interesting and entertaining somewhat to see some of the folks losing their minds over this draft opinion. It'll come out. One of the comments, well, the way I've explained it to people, I said, look, you got to understand, the Supreme Court is not overturning a law. What they're saying is, and this is important to understand, they're saying, if you want this to be a law, then you need to go pass a law. Because as we look at it, there is no such law. There is no such right in the Constitution. If you want to pass it, fine. But you got to go pass the law. And then the comment that I got to tell you, I chuckle every time I see it now, is people say, well, this will leave us with a patchwork of laws across the United States varying from state to state. You know where I'm going, right? I say, oh, you mean like the Second Amendment, like gun laws, like a right that's actually right there in the Constitution, where we are left with a patchwork of laws, and the law changes every time you go across a state line, and we're supposed to know what the law is as we drive from state to state. And in this case, if you don't know the law, and if you violate the law unknowingly, you can be sent to prison for years for not knowing the law. That's what a patchwork of laws is, and that's what we currently have. Just a thought I'm throwing out there. Hey, it's Mother's Day. Got a story about your mother, shooting, hunting, guns? Love to hear it. Now's the time to share. 866-TALK-GUN will get you in here, or just call me at Tom Talk Gun. I'm Tom Gresham. Strange. Looking out the window. Weather report from the mountain. Sun shining and it's snowing like crazy. Okay. Someone said, this is why they call it May. It may snow. It may rain. It may sunshine. Yeah, I get it. Isn't that the truth? That's okay. 15 minutes, it'll be different. Let's see. Sales of firearms have fallen from their recent highs, but are continuing in a nearly three-year-long string of about 1.25 million a month. Continuing. The latest NICS, National Instant Criminal Background Check System, shows about 1.2 million guns sold each month, not each year, each month, for the last 3 years or so. Interesting. So if you look at it, yes, we're kind of at a dip from the last 2 years, but if you look at the timeline going from 2000, it just keeps going up. Why do we have this big explosion of gun buying over the last 2 years? Everybody has their opinion, their theory. Mine is that people looked at the TV and said, holy cow, there are groups of people out there burning down cities. They are turning over cars. They're setting cars on fire. They are killing people. They are burning down police stations. And at the same time, we have woke mayors telling the police departments, pull back, let them do whatever they want to. Let them express themselves. And so an awful lot of people who previously thought, well, I'll just call the police, looked at it and went, oh, the police may not show up. It appears to me, as I'm looking at the TV, that police are being told not to even go to the parts of town where the riots are. Sweetie, I think we probably ought to go get us a gun. And they did. By the gazillions, something on the order of 12, maybe 14 million first-time gun buyers over a two-year period. Crazy, huh? All right, it's Mother's Day. I'll kind of share a story or two about my mother and her guns as we go along. But now's a chance for you to get in on this if you'd like to swap stories and tell me a little bit about your mom or your wife or somebody in your family, doesn't matter, 866-TALK-GUN. Chuck did exactly that. He's calling in from Farmington, New Mexico. Happy Mother's Day, Chuck.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to you, Tom. I got a funny story to relate. My mom is 87 okay. years old. She still gets up and puts on her makeup, does her hair, and goes to work every day. But we were out hunting probably in 72 or 73, which makes me 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And my father was tired of dragging this kid around because you never sit still and you're always making noise. So that particular day, we were out deer hunting in central New Mexico. He stuck my mother with me. And she happened to have the luck that year, and she shot a deer, a nice little 4x4 buck.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the members in our party came along right after, you know, he heard the shot and came along, and she was up on top of this huge mesa that would have been just a pain to drag that deer all the way down.
Right.
And he laughed at her, and he said, well, lady, how are you going to get that deer down the hill? And I witnessed it with my own eyes, 7, 8-year-old kid. Right after he said that, that buck kicked about 4 or 5 times and kicked himself off of the edge of that mesa and rolled all the way down to the bottom of the hill where it was just really easy to drive up to it, load it in the back of the pickup truck, and drive it back to camp.
Oh, my gosh. Is that how I'm going to get it down there?
Yeah, and she didn't even have to think about it. She didn't have a chance to say a word. She just, that buck kicked and
That's
rolled
great.
Right off the edge of that mesa. And I laughed. I was amazed, actually, as a kid, and I have never forgotten that story.
Gravity is your friend sometimes. Yes, I love that.
Yeah, here's to my mother, 87 years old, gets up and goes to work every day.
That is terrific. Chuck, thank you so much for sharing that, and happy Mother's Day to your mom. Please pass that along if you would. Man, a great story. My mom, Mary Gresham, the only child born to a fairly well-off country doctor in South Carolina. She was, you know, basic steel magnolia, except that she was pampered growing up. So I don't think she knew how to boil water when she got married. She knew how to dance. He was really pretty. And she married this country boy named Grits. And she took to it, and she became a world-class fisherman and a pretty darn good hunter and a good wing shot. Took me on my first deer hunt before I was born. She was big pregnant with me in Arizona, and they were at deer camp, and she just was going to go out and do some drawing. She was an accomplished artist, and she was drawing this landscape, but she had a rifle with her. And this doe mule deer came out and walking up the opposite hillside, and she shot it, but she was too big, pregnant, to go get it. So she took the painting back to deer camp, the landscape she'd been drawing, and handed it to Dad, and marked on it, said, that's where the deer is, go get it. He used the drawing, went right back there, found the deer, and brought it on in. So I guess I've been deer hunting since before I was born with Mary. Fun stuff. Got a few more of those, but if you have stories to share with us, 866-TALK-GUN. Neil, don't go anywhere. I'm going to get to you on the backside here. Quick break. We'll be right back with more gun talk.
Silencer Shop is the number one source for suppressors in the United States. With 4,000 powered by Silencer Shop dealers across the U.S., visit silencershop.com to locate a Silencer Shop kiosk for your ATF eForm 4 and expect to get your suppressor or any NFA item in just 90 days. Check out Silencer Shop on YouTube and Instagram to experience silencer ownership simplified.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter Gun Talk's Carry Away giveaway. 2 grand prize winners take home either the new Taurus G3 XL or the Taurus Defender 605, plus a $100 gift certificate from DeSantis Gunhide. 8 first prize winners will receive a $100 gift certificate from DeSantis Gunhide, good for a new holster, gun belt, and more. Enter now through May 30th at guntalk.com/win.
Hunters and anglers are great for our economy, generating $76 billion annually. Hunters and anglers keep people working, supporting 1.6 million jobs. Hunters and anglers are wildlife conservation's backbone. Ducks Unlimited's mission is to fill the skies with waterfowl now and forever. Hunters and other sportsmen and women have stood behind DU's commitment to wetlands conservation for 84 years and counting. Want to help? Visit ducks.org and become a DU member today.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
We're telling tales now. It's Mother's Day. You can share your stories about your mother, about another mother, or if you're a mother, give me a call. We'll talk about it. Guns, hunting, gun ownership, pretty much anything has to do with guns and shooting, and maybe even gun rights, maybe a part of that as well. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Neil called in from Big Lake, Alaska. Neil, that's up what, in the Mat-Su Valley?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good deal. All right, you're on the air. You got a story for us. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to basically give a shout-out to our Mat-Su Borough Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Last Tuesday, just 5 days ago, the Mat-Su Borough Assembly saw their way clear to sell my youth shooting organization called Alaska Yes, Youth Education Shooting Sports, 200 acres of borough land to build a gun range for kids.
Wow. How did you pull that off?
It took me 7 years.
Wow. 200 acres.
I just kept on them. I got the right politicians in the right place at the right time.
Yep. So what are you going to do with that?
Well, we're primarily going to build a shotgun shooting facility. We coach. Yesterday was our sporting clays championship for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will not, that's at Birchwood, which you've probably been to.
I have. I've shot at Birchwood, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're going to build a facility to hold training and competition for the kids. 200 acres is going to be over twice the size of Birchwood.
Wow.
Phenomenal, actually. This guy that hangs out down in Juneau now, named Mike Dunleavy, if you know him, he's the governor of our state.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be the president of the school board out here in the Mat-Su borough. And 10 years ago, he put our program in the high schools, so kids can varsity letter in high school with a shotgun.
Huh.
The problem is we didn't have anywhere to shoot.
Right.
We had to go to Birchwood, which leaves the borough and goes into the Anchorage borough. So,
right, and it's a drive.
Yeah, well, it's 20 miles, and in the wintertime on icy roads during the school year, it can be a challenge sometimes.
Yep, and, dodge and moose, as I remember, also.
Well, so you got to do that, too.
So where are you going to get the money to build this?
Got any?
Yeah, exactly.
I had a guy generously offer to pay. We had to buy the land from the borough, and a friend of mine generously offered to. Actually, he didn't offer; he paid. He gave me the money to buy the land for the princely sum of $1. He wanted to go on record saying, "You know, I'm going to buy that land for you."
Okay,
here's a buck.
But now it's going to cost you money to put in the shooting facilities.
Now we need a lot of money.
Right.
And we're, you know, just, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Midway USA program.
Oh, they've sure. Yes.
Available. NRA grant, wherever. I mean, we're just walking around with our hand out right now.
Right. So, well, but you got the first step. You got the land, because without that, you can't
exactly.
do anything.
Exactly. I could never do anything until I had the land.
Yeah, now it's real. Yeah, now you can go to somebody like Midway or Brownells or the NRA Foundation or anybody else, or even private investors who say, you know, I could leave all this to my family, but how about if I leave some of this and make a donation now to something like this? Neil, if somebody wanted to help you out, is there a way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, they could call me on the phone. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me.
If you're willing to give out your phone number.
My partner could give you all our corporate information if you'd like.
Well, it's up to you. If you want to give out your phone number on the air, that's your call, man.
Give the phone number.
I'm not opposed to it. If somebody wants to donate, we are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. You can donate and write it off on your taxes.
All right. Well,
my phone number. 907-355-0962.
All right, I'm going to give that out again so people hear it. 907-355-0962. If you want to help Neil with this youth shooting program, give him a holler. You can make a donation, get it going. Neil, congratulations. I know it's taken a long time, and just what an amazing thing for you and your wife to do. And look, I got a scoop, but I thank you so much for what you're doing there. Well done. A big old Gun Talk attaboy for you guys. Thank you, sir. Let's see here, Jim. I don't know if we got time to get Joe in right now. What do we got? All right, let's do this. Let's drop down and grab line one. Dave's in Carson City. Hey, Dave, you're on.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the wives and mothers. I had a very special one. We were at the SAS convention a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I kept walking by this one booth that had a beautiful case-hardened 73 with an octagon barrel.
Mm.
And after about five or six circles around the vendor's booth, mm-hmm. she finally said, hey, you've got the money, go buy it.
Oh, that's a good woman. That's terrific.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I know you miss her. But I do appreciate you sharing it. That's good support right there. Thank you, sir. Yeah, let's talk about my mom. Oh my gosh, learning to duck hunt. She ended up loving to duck hunt. But she was little. She's a short little thing, like 5 feet zip. And all the shotguns were too big. And even when Dad would cut a stock off, yeah, he wouldn't cut enough off because the standard length of pull is like 14 inches. He'd cut it to 13. That wasn't enough. So one time he went on a trip, and she took her Winchester Model 101 over and under shotgun, 20 gauge, took it to a gunsmith and had it cut down to 12 inches. And once she did that, it was Katie barred the door, and then she did the same thing to her Winchester Model 12, 20 gauge, which is the shotgun I grew up shooting when I was a kid because it had a little short stock and I could run it. But, man, I'm telling you, once she got a shotgun that could fit her, it just look out. Doves, ducks, it didn't matter. She was something else on those. And then learned to be a really good cook, and they ended up doing nationwide tours teaching people how to cook game meat and all of that. So it was, as you might imagine, a pretty cool way to grow up. You know, everybody thinks their mom's special. I think my mom was special, but I think probably in reality all moms are special. Well, partly because they put up with us, right? That's for sure. I mean, oh my gosh, how many times did I show up at the back door going, okay, right, yeah, strip all your clothes off. Yeah, you're not coming in here that muddy, that dirty. And it'd either be mud or blood. And then there was the whole, if you're bleeding, take one step in on the tile, then into the bathroom. And her thing, each mom had a different deal. My mom's was hydrogen peroxide. Pour it on the cut. Let's wash it out. See if we're going to need stitches. Nope. Okay, we're going to patch you up. Good to go. Send it back out the door. That was, my sister, my younger brother, and me out there getting in trouble. But, man, it was fun. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. I was just sitting here thinking about it being Mother's Day and a conversation I had Friday evening. Several of us sitting around having a conversation, neighbors. And several of the women there some have guns, but they all want to get better at it or become more comfortable with their handguns, their personal protection handguns. And I said, of course, I'll be happy to help you. And I was thinking about that and thinking about Mother's Day and thinking about maybe not your mother, but maybe somebody you know, particularly a woman, maybe a young woman who wants to be able to protect herself and her family, may not have the background with it, may not have somebody who can teach her. And maybe you're the person, the guy or the gal, who knows this stuff, who has guns that could be loaned out when you go to the range. Say, look, let's try some different ones. I don't know, I'm just thinking about that and thinking, what a wonderful thing to be able to do to say, okay, you want to know about this. All right, we're going to start from the beginning. And what I offered was, I said, look, we're going to start at home with an unloaded gun, and we're going to work our way through getting comfortable handling an unloaded gun and go through the four rules of gun safety and all of that. Anyway, just kind of thinking about that that idea of a gift for a woman you know. Mother, grandmother, friend, neighbor, coworker, something. Just a thought. Tori called in on line two out of Missouri. Tori, you're on Gun Talk. Talk to me.
Yeah, I want to tell you about my grandmother, Regina.
Okay, good deal. I got about a minute and a half, so go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So one day she woke me up and said, we're going to go quill hunting. So she wanted my .22. So we ended up with her up this restaurant. That's where I got to meet Governor Ashcroft of Missouri.
Oh.
And they made a bet with another group beside that my grandmother could outshoot all of them. So we went out there to the field. We've all got shotguns, but my grandmother had this little .22 caliber Marlin of mine.
Okay.
And for every bird she pointed at, she hit every one. Not miss once. Hit every single one. And Ashcroft was nudging me, going, now you know why when we were kids, we nicknamed your grandmother Little Annie Oakley.
Was she shooting? She wasn't shooting him in the air with that .22, was she?
She was shooting every single one of those quail with a .22 caliber rifle, a Marlin.
While they were flying or on the ground?
In the air as they come up.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
And never missed once. We actually tried to get her into a shooting contest with two military army snipers for charity, but things didn't fall through. Because we had running bets on how badly she was going to show them up.
Holy cow. And I know that through the years you have told that story and he had probably most people saying, oh, you're lying. Come on. That can't be true, right?
No, I believe it. No, I don't believe it. You can ask John Ashcroft.
What a great story.
These two yes, at the table beside us bet a C-No each that my grandmother couldn't hit a darn thing with that .22.
I love it. Tori, that is a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a wonderful story. And just goes to show you, don't ever bet that tell somebody they can't do something if you've never seen them do it, because you have no idea. And some of the very best shooters I have ever been around have been women. And you just, I'm telling you, you never know. And really, when you think about it, what do you need? You need some muscle control, but mostly it's mental. And good eyesight, of course. But, you know, there's no reason in the world that a woman can't outshoot a man. And they often do. 866-TALK-GUN. You can share your Mother's Day story with us. Give me a holler.